Spanish tracts as well for all the Spanish families, so I'll be praying for that. At Awana, we also are having a costume night, so for those of you that have Awana kids, you can have them wear their costumes. All right, well, good morning. We've started this series on building bridges in an angry world, and my question for you this morning is, do you think it's an angry world? Raise your hand. Yeah, I mean, I would say the climate of our culture, politics, internationally, you know, everything we read in the news is just angry. It's angry in our society. I thought Pastor Greg's title for this was very timely and appropriate for what our culture is going through. And yet, despite the atmosphere in our nation and in our world, we're still called as believers to build bridges to all people. Amen? And it's for God's glory and the expansion of His kingdom. Amen? That is what we are called to as believers, despite the circumstances, culture, anger, atmosphere. And last week, Greg started this series by looking at how to be a friend when you are scared and when you're afraid. And I appreciated his exhortation. The one thing that stood out to me is exhortation to first build your relationship with Jesus, because it's when we're abiding in Christ that we're able to reach out to those that are not like us, that we're scared to reach out to. And out of that strength, we're able to build bridges with others when we have the strength of Jesus with us. So this morning, we're going to be looking at the topic of the foundation of friendship. You know, when we step out in faith, what does the foundation of a good, solid, impactful friendship look like? And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. A number of years ago, when my kids were younger and they were about to hit the preteen, or they were in the preteen years, about to hit the preteen teen, somewhere around there, we built an addition on our house to have a little more room for our growing, taller, you know, family and having a little more space. And so here's a photo of the before. That was our family room. It was built in like the 1950s. And after, we built up. So it's a lot easier to build up than to build out. You don't have to build a new foundation. But before we started this project, a contractor, we had some consultants out, and one contractor said, you know, that family room was built in the 50s. You better make sure it has a real foundation, because back then they did all kinds of crazy stuff, and it could just be on a slab foundation. Now, for those of you, some of you know what the difference is between a slab foundation and a real or a full foundation. A slab foundation, A slab foundation is like the photo on the drawing on the left. It's basically just, it's a shallow foundation. It, you know, usually maybe 24 inches deep, and versus what code is nowadays, of course, and what all houses are built on is a full foundation, which is below the frost line. It has to go at least 42 inches around here. And otherwise, it could shift and move, and weight could push it down. And so, you know, shallow foundations like the slab foundation can handle some things like a garage or, you know, a lightweight structure, but not a full two-story living house. And so, full foundation is required. So, what we did is I had to dig a hole next to the outside of the foundation, because, you know, all the records that were in the county, they didn't have any details. It was just like a hand-drawn, we're building a house. You know, that was about it. There's no detailed architecture drawings. And so I had to figure out if it has a real foundation or a slab foundation. So here's a photo of us starting to dig the hole to see about the foundation. I think I got so far down, and then I used a post-hole digger to go farther. And there we go. You can see we're actually, you can't read it, but I only went to 42 inches. It was deeper than that, but I only had to prove to the county that 42 inches. So that tape measure shows that 42 inches, you know, so I had something to show the county. So we had a real foundation. So we were able to, a full foundation. So we were able to build on top of it, and it was a foundation that was going to be able to handle the weight of what was built on it properly. And in the same way, when we're building the foundation of friendship, it has to be a solid foundation if we're going to build on it. And the foundation in our relationships, foundation in our friendship, is our character, our integrity. without a strong foundation of integrity, that friendship that you build on top of it, it's not going to last. It could crack, it could split, it could sink, it could collapse. And so it's all about a strong foundation. And there's all kinds of wisdom out there for being a friend. You know, there's I was looking at some of the books I had, Friendship Factor, and there's all kinds of popular literature and self-help books on being a friend and all that stuff, and tips and principles and ideas. You know, you've heard some of them, things like good body language and good eye contact and love languages, speak their love language, do things that they like to do, all these great tips for building a good friendship. But the thing is, these things must be built on a good foundation, because you can do all these tips and techniques, but if it's not on a good foundation, it's not going to last. It may crumble and it may fail. So that's the things that we're going to look at this morning, are those biblical values that, when exemplified in our life, when they're embedded in our life, deep down, they're going to be the foundation for a healthy relationship, a healthy friendship that'll last the long term. So let's pray as we look at this today. Let's open in prayer. Father, we just thank you that your word teaches us principles and your character, Lord, that you want in our lives, Lord. And it's your character, your integrity, Lord, is so good for so many things, but also for sustaining long-term friendships, long-term relationships that are healthy, and ones that don't fail, ones that don't crumble, ones that last. And so we commit this morning to you that you would teach us something new. This is a topic maybe we've heard about before, Lord, but that you would teach our hearts something new in our hearts, Lord, that we would examine our hearts, lift our hearts up to you, Lord, and you show us where we need to repent. You show us where we need to trust you more. You show us where we need to take action and trust you as we're doing it. Lord, thank you that you're going to be with us as we pursue these things with our friends, with our relationships. So we lift this morning up to you in your son's name. Amen. So what are the foundational attributes for a strong relationship? The first one is to be a friend honestly. To be a friend honestly. And if you have notes in the bulletin, I have challenges at the end of each section that you can take home with you. There's some more up at the little ledge up there if you need it later. But there's challenges you can take home, so you don't have to write down all the challenges that we give this morning. You get it on your handout, or you can pick it up. But honesty, be a friend honestly. Honesty is a very rare commodity in our culture. So what does it mean to be a friend honestly? It means, first of all, to have pure motives in your friendships, pure motives in your relationships. You know, if you pursue a friendship just for social status or just to get something out of it, it's not really an honest relationship, because you're trying to get something out of it from that person. And so building a foundation in your relationships isn't the same as gaining social status. You know, social status is not built on solid friendships. It's built on shifting sand. And when that wave comes in and that sand shifts, your social status is gone. And you have to restart, because you're building your relationships on that. And students, especially, I'm here to tell you, as much as it feels this way to you now, social status is not that important long-term in your life. Social status is not the end-all. But sustainable relationships, a deep foundation of in relationships built on integrity, long-term friendships like that, those are the things that are valuable. Those are the things that are going to carry you and help you throughout your life. They're of much more value than short-term social status. So when you reach out to someone to build a friendship, do it for honest motives. In the Christian context, I think about evangelism. Evangelism can be done dishonestly too, if we'll admit it, because for a Christian, you know, in the name of spreading the gospel, we can go ahead and show an interest in a friendship in somebody, right? And then we share the gospel with that person. If they don't respond it, you know, we can say, oh, I got to move on to the next person, and drop them like a brick. I'm not saying that always happens, but that I've seen that happen. And then what happens is the person is sitting there like, hey, I thought you wanted to be my friend. Well, no, you wanted to be their friend if they responded to the gospel. You know, that's very disingenuous. That's not an honest relationship. That's why I prefer to call evangelism friendgelism. You know, I did that at one teen conference, friendgelism, because if we're out there to make a friend, then in the context of that friendship, share the love of Christ, show the love of Christ, share the love of Christ, and draw them to the love of Christ. So friendgelism should be our goal in evangelism. Another common scenario, I've just thought of this. I don't know why I think of these weird things, but you know how in the Christian culture people say, oh, pray for me for this or this or this, and or I'm going through this struggle, and then what's the common Christian cliche response? I'll pray for you. You know, you see that on Facebook, right? Someone posts, oh, I'm going through a hard time. 500 people are like, I'll pray for you, I'll pray for you, I'll pray for you, praying for you, pray for you. I wonder how many of those 500 people really pray for the person. Or if just saying, I'll pray for you, has become like some Christian cliche that we just say it and never do it. And so what I've done lately is I've decided I'm only going to say it after I pray for someone. And so I had this person brought up a prayer request to me recently. And I prayed for them throughout the week. And then later, at the end of the week, I emailed them and said, hey, how's it going? I prayed for you three times this week over that prayer request that you had. And his response, he responded back to me and he said, wow, amen, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for praying. And then he shared how he already saw God's hand working. So he already saw God's hand working in answer to that prayer. Honesty in our relationships is critical. And the Lord will bring these little things to mind that, wow, am I being dishonest, disingenuous in my relationships, in my friendships? And he wants us to be honest in all that we do. Paul instructed the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm not going to put up the full verse, but I will put up the end of it. But this is starting in verse 17, Ephesians 4. Paul said, I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. He's talking about non-believers. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Okay, so he's describing the world. And then he goes on and says, that, however, is not the way of life that you learned when you heard about Christ. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self. And then he goes on and he says, he ends it in verse 25, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Put off falsehood. I love that. Put off falsehood. Put off fakeness. Put off those things that we're not genuine in, that we're not authentic in. Put them off. Be honest in our relationship, in our dealing with people in every way. Because if we're not being honest, if we're being deceitful or we have hidden motives, you know, people read through that eventually. They're going to read through it and see it in your lives, and that relationship will crumble. So the challenge on your notes is to consider if you're honest in all of your relationships, I would say in all of your ways. Ask the Lord to show you ways that you may be disingenuous, and then ask his help to be more honest. All right, so take that before the Lord. The next foundational attribute of a strong relationship is to be a friend transparently. Transparently. James wrote kind of the classic verse most of you guys know. Therefore, in James 5, therefore confess your sins to one another. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now, the context here is that the Lord answers prayer. So if there's a sin in our lives that's causing an effect in our lives, then we ought to confess it so that people can be praying for us and that the Lord will heal that in our lives. But I think the broader principle at play here is to be transparent in our lives with one another, not to conceal our sin, not to hide our problems, because in the end, it's going to hurt us in the end. It's going to hurt us relationally. It's going to hurt our lives in different ways. It's going to have an adverse effect on our friendship. There was a dad I knew that I had a relationship more with years ago. He just came to mind because when I was writing this, because he was a very successful financial investment advisor. He had all these small businesses invest all their money with him and his partner, and they did very, very well. And he told me that people do business with those that they trust. People do business with those that they trust. And I understand that because this guy, he just radiated relationship, you know. You trusted him. People trusted their money with him. And I believe that they trusted their money with him so much is because he was so open with his life, so transparent with his life. And as you got to know him, he wasn't afraid to share his struggles, to ask for help. He was a believer, but at the time he wasn't going to church for various reasons. And so another Christian dad and I and he met in a little men's group for one school year. And we met in his financial investment office suites, you know. And it was really nice. And we met there weekly. He opened up and we were all pretty open with each other and just prayed for each other, built each other up. It ends up that he then took that step and took his family to church and got knit in. And that was great. That was kind of our goal, to help him get knit into a church and to take that next step. And listen, you know, you get to know someone and you trust them when they're open. If I had $1 million like some of his clients, I wouldn't put it all with him and say, hey, you invest for me. You know why? Because I grew to trust him. And nothing breeds trust more than vulnerability. Nothing breeds trust more than being vulnerable with others. It breeds trust because you're being real with someone. You're being open with someone. And transparent with our lives creates a relational bond. Now, men have more struggle with this, don't we? Men have a little more struggle with this. It's been said that women bond over shared emotions and men bond over doing activities together. You know, that's kind of a generalization, but you can see that. And, you know, you can see also the problems there between men and women bonding, you know, if they're in different operating systems, you know, especially if they're married. And I was thinking about this week. I'm learning Spanish on this app called Duolingo. I think of these weird things. I was just sitting there on the train this week thinking, they should have like a Duolingo app for men for feelings, to learn how to speak feelings, you know? Wouldn't that be awesome? I would do that. We struggle with that. As you know, I think I shared in the spring, I've been reading this book, Emotionally Healthy Leader, and trying to apply. Actually, I'm doing more trying to just apply it in my lives. So there's so much stuff in it. Take like a lifetime to apply it. But one of the challenges was for men, for us to start to write down our emotions, because sometimes we don't even identify them in our lives, you know. And so the author of the book, the pastor there, was challenging us to write down our emotions. And so during my extended quiet times the last 6 months or so, I've been starting out my quiet time, the extended quiet time, just with trying to write down what I'm feeling, you know. Sometimes it takes me a while just to figure out, I'm like, am I feeling anything? do I have any feelings? Or are they in there? Oh, yeah, I guess. Oh, yeah. And you try to describe it. It's actually pretty hard. You know, when you're a male, it can be pretty hard. And so for me, it's been good because I realize, wow, I can identify these things that they do exist in my life. And I think it's a good step towards being more vulnerable in our relationships. First, if you can identify what you're going through, what you're feeling. So the challenge here in your notes is to seek the Lord about those things in your life of which you're not open. Ask him to help you deal with the reasons you're not being transparent with your life to God and to others. Why you're not being transparent to God and to others. Really key, both aspects. Be a friend straightforwardly. I don't even know if that's a real word, but straightforwardly. In other words, speak into each other's lives. Now, these verses are also extremely common verses that we repeat in Christian circles all the time. These proverbs, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. The wounds from a friend can be trusted, but the enemy multiplies kisses. Because the wounds from a friend are from someone that cares for you. And so when they speak into your life, honestly, it's for your good. And even though it hurts, it's good, you know, versus an enemy that just could care less and is just trying to tear you down and insult you. So the wounds from a friend can be trusted. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, so one person sharpens another. A strong relational foundation means we're not afraid to ask for advice from our friends, and we're not afraid to give it when we see a need in our friends' lives, in our relationship lives. Our men's small group, I think it's just Jim and I that are here today from it. Are we missing anybody else? But we have met for years, and we have no structure in our meetings. You know, so there's such a lack of structure, it's almost hilarious. You know, we make it up as we go every week, every time we meet. We've been meeting for years. And but the reason it's successful is, I think, as I thought about it, is A, we don't put on airs with one another. We're old enough that we don't really care about that anymore. You know, so we don't put on airs with one another. We're open with our lives, and we're willing to share truth to each other in a straightforward way, and just lay it out there. Sometimes people have to apologize, you know, and say, you know, sorry if I insulted you. This is just the way it is, you know. And, but it's okay, you know. I mean, there's been times where it's got a little heated, but it's okay because we trust each other. We know that we're there for each other's good and to help each other, and it's been good to speak the truth in love. New Testament is full of instructions for believers to initiate in each other's lives. You know, you read that all over, that we're to encourage each other, to warn each other, to help each other, even correct each other. And if we aren't taking initiative in each other's lives, then we're really not following what the Lord has laid out for the church, for us to be a member of the church, to participate in that process of building into other people, into following the Lord that way, being a part of his body. So the challenge in your notes: do you solicit input from others? Do you speak into the lives of your friends? If not, what is causing you to hold back? Ask God what he wants you to do about it. Okay? Be a friend lovingly. So if we're going to speak into our each other's lives, we also better exhibit this attribute in our foundation, which is love and care, because we need to speak into each other's lives with a right heart. And so we need to be a friend lovingly. Paul shared with the Colossians, he said, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one and each other." The patience, it's interesting. Even that 1 Thessalonians verse that I somewhat quoted in the last section, how it says, you know, admonish the unruly, help the weak. You know, so that it shows how you're supposed to input into people's lives differently based on where they're at. But then the end of that verse says, be patient with everybody. So no matter where they're at, be patient. It says that here again. Humility, gentleness, patience, bear with each other, and forgiving one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. There's so many verses. If we're trying to correct someone and we're angry about it, you know, guess what? It's not really going to be very effective. It's not really going to help your friendship or help your relationship. In fact, it'll probably do more harm than good. And there's so many verses like that. 1 Thessalonians, Galatians 1 says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore the person gently," just like in this verse in Colossians. With humility, gentleness, and patience. Gently. When you're speaking into someone's life, we're to speak into their life from a heart of compassion, a heart of kindness, a heart of humility, a heart of gentleness, a heart of patience. That's what the Lord wants when we're speaking into each other's life. It should be out of love. It should be out of a caring heart. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all time." A friend loves at all times. We were just, Barbara and Elizabeth and I were just watching that Jane Austen movie, Emma, last night. And I thought what was really cool about that was that Knightley spoke into Emma's life straightforwardly, but it was out of love. And so she accepted it. And she actually changed what her behavior, took it to heart, his input, because he did it out of a heart of love. They ended up getting married. It always happens in Jane Austen. Book. And but it was a great illustration of this. A friend loves at all times and is not afraid to speak into our lives. Love is sincere. Its purpose is not to get what you want. Its purpose is not to use someone. If you employ those techniques in your relationship to get what you want, that's not love. That's not love. That's manipulative. And I would say even evil. I was thinking about this. It's kind of a long-term thing for me, is that when we're manipulating, you know, it's really evil, because Satan is all about control, power and control. That's how Satan operates, you know, and to force people to his will. And anytime we're trying to control people, we're really walking in Satan's steps, aren't we? Because we're trying to control people rather than love people. And this includes trying to make things like trying to make people feel guilty or trying to use leverage against someone or even trying to bolster your case by only presenting the facts that lead to your conclusion, you know, those type of little techniques, you know, that's not love. But love is putting others first in your relationship. Love is thinking of others' interests before your own. That's what a loving relationship is. As Greg shared last week, love is dying to yourself, sacrificing yourself for others. That's love. So the challenge in your notes are, do you exhibit patterns of manipulation of others of which you need to repent? Are you selfish in your relationship? In other words, are you always just trying to push your way? Ask the Lord to give you a heart of sacrificial love. The last area we're going to talk about this morning, the last attribute, there's probably many other attributes. These are just ones that the Lord put on my heart for this morning, is to be a friend prayerfully. And my last extended quiet time was not yesterday, but the Saturday before. And what the Lord impressed upon me was to focus more on some of these things that I've been talking about this morning, especially speaking into people's lives, taking more initiative that way. And but what the Lord impressed upon me was that I need to do that without trusting my own wisdom of what they need. You know, we always walk around and say, oh, I know what they need. They need to change this, 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 and this, you know. And you probably say the same thing about me because we know each other, you know. We know each other's lives, and you know all the problems in my life, and I know the problems in Greg's life, and I'm always like, you got to change, brother, you know. And and vice versa, right? And but you know, oftentimes we approach it with our own wisdom, you know. So what the Lord impressed upon me was to seek God's wisdom, wisdom from above. And so kind of my takeaway from that time was that I want to take more initiative in my relationships, but I want to go on a long prayer walk with the Lord about someone before I speak into their lives and ask the Lord what his wisdom is for that person and how I should, what he wants me to do, what he wants me to even say or how to say it, and rely on the Lord for that. So that's my goal. So you can hold me accountable to that. And that really goes for sharing the gospel with someone as well, doesn't it? I mean, have you ever heard that old adage that you should talk to God about your friend before you talk to your friend about God? Talk to God about your friend before you talk to your friend about God. You know, lift them up in prayer, because we only see a little bit of a person's lives. You know, we make some observations, but we often, I've tried to speak into someone's life in my own human wisdom, and it just, once where it just blew up explosively. The person's still, you know, not explosively, it wasn't that bad, but I realized, wow, the friend, they like defriended me on Facebook, and I was pretty nice about it, but I was wrong in my observations, you know. And so I've learned from that, and we need to go to the Lord, speak to a person, speak to God about the person before we speak to the person about God. Jesus really employed the same strategy. I was reminded this week in Luke, and I think it's in another gospel too, Luke 6, where before Jesus appointed the 12 apostles, do you know what he did? Does anybody remember what he did before he appointed the 12 apostles? He went up to a mountainside, and he spent the whole night in prayer. He sought God the Father about people before he made a decision and took action with people. He sought the Lord. And that was one of the most important decisions in Christianity, because it worked out pretty good. He chose pretty well, because we're here over 2,000 years later as a result of that decision that he made that day on the 12 that would go on and lead the church after he left. The challenge here. Start with prayer. Do you pray for God's will in a person's life? Do you seek wisdom from above on how God might want you to love your friend, including how to speak into their lives? So these are the foundation of friendship attributes that I've thought about this week: honesty, transparency, straightforwardness, love, prayer. And if we build our friendships on these attributes, our relationships are going to grow out of those strong and be effective for God's glory and for all that we do on this earth. So let's close in prayer and just take a minute. I'd just like to, we have a couple minutes, so maybe we'll just take a, boy, we've done that a lot this morning, but it's always good.
maybe just take a couple minutes and in the quietness of your own heart, see what is the Lord speaking to you this morning about a specific thing maybe you need to repent of, or maybe a thing that you want to commit to take action with in some relationship, some friendship that you have. So just take a minute before the Lord in that, and then I'll close this. Father, we fail so often in our relationships. We are so selfish many times in the way we think and the way we act, the way we treat people, Lord. We repent, Lord, of the sin in our lives that causes us to not love people the way we ought to. Lord, help us to grow us to be more like you, Lord. Show us specific actions that we need to take, Lord, in our relationships to be more honest, transparent, straightforward, loving, Lord, and to lift those up into our lives more frequently in prayer, Lord, to you, that you would lead us in our friendships, just like you ought to lead us in all things in our lives, Lord, but most important thing in our lives is our relationships. So we ask you to lead us, help our hearts to come to you often, to ask for your help, and we lift everyone up here to you, and we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Will you take, as the music team's, worship team's coming up here, will you just take a minute and think about, after the service today, I know we all go about our daily lives, but maybe, this is a challenge, maybe after we're done with worshiping, turn to someone, maybe your spouse or friend or whatever, and just share what one thing the Lord, if it's something you're willing to reveal, share what's one thing that you're willing that the Lord has impressed upon you to take action from this morning. Just share it with each other. And if there's nothing, that's fine. Keep praying about that. But if there is, just take a time to share it with each other right after we're done with worship before we all go our different ways. Okay? All right. Thank you.